gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, we know thee who thou art, thou Holy One of God. It is written, he saved others, himself he cannot save. It is written, I find no fault in this man. It is written, have thou nothing to do with this righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. It is written, I have sinned in that I betrayed innocent blood. It is written, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I put thine enemies under thy feet. If David then calleth him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message entitled, what think ye of Christ?
For God is just a prayer away.
In the Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, a series of questions had been asked of Jesus in a vain endeavor to ensnare him in his talk. The Pharisees sent a delegation to ask about tribute to Caesar. Jesus told them, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Then the Sadducees came with a question about the resurrection. This group did not believe in the resurrection, neither angels nor spirits. Jesus told them they erred because they knew not the Scripture nor the power of God. Again, it was the Pharisees that came and tried to minimize the commandments by asking which was the greatest commandment of all. Some people today use the same ruse by asking the question, which commandment is the greatest in the plan of salvation? Is it faith? Is it repentance? Is it baptism? Which is the greatest commandment? The principle of James applies here. He that offends in one point is guilty of all. Jesus completely defeated them and then turned the tables on them by asking them a question. He said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? He did not say, what do you think of me? He knew they did not recognize him as the Christ. But they did believe in a Christ or Messiah that would come, and the question was, what do you think of the Messiah that you are looking for? They answered correctly as they replied, he will be the son of David. The Lord finished the quotation from Psalms for them by saying, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. If David then calleth him Lord, how is he his son? When they perceived that the only explanation was the virgin birth, no one dared to answer a word. At this point, we leave the Pharisees in their dilemma and ask the question for our own edification. Ladies and gentlemen, what think ye of Christ? First, we consider the testimony of the devil and others in the kingdom of darkness. Listen to them as they tell us what they think of Jesus during his sojourn on planet Earth. The first identification of Jesus was by the devil himself. Jesus was preaching in the synagogue at Capernaum on a Sabbath day, and in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried with a loud voice, "Ah, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." That is what the devil thinks of Jesus. The devil calls him the Holy One of God. Now that is significant when the devil calls Jesus the Holy One of God, because just before this, the devil had tried Jesus in the wilderness with the strongest temptations and failed. No one had ever stood up to him before and won over the devil as Jesus. Then add to this the fact that from the age of 12 until he was 30 years old, we know nothing about the life of Jesus except for the fact that he was a carpenter. The devil had been busy all of those years that we don't know anything about, tempting the Lord in his teenage years and during his 20s, and Jesus was always victorious over every temptation. The devil would not have called Jesus the Holy One of God otherwise. When the devil stands face to face with Jesus, he calls him holy. Then again, in the country of the Gadarenes, Jesus was met by a man who had a legion of demons within him. This man cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Art thou come to torment us before the time?" The devil not only recognized Jesus as the Son of God, but also made a comment about the existence of the place of torment and the power of Jesus to see that he was tormented there. And that is what the devil thinks of Jesus. According to the devil, Jesus is the Son of God, he is holy, and has the power over darkness and the power over the devil to cast him into hell. And that is the opinion that the devil has of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, what think ye of Christ? Next, we consider what the Pharisees thought of Jesus. Luke tells us that all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes made this awful charge against Jesus. They said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to hear that myself, that testimony of the enemies of Jesus. Think of it. The Pharisees said that Jesus will receive sinners and eat with them, and they thought that was an insult. That means Jesus will receive me. That means he will eat with me. What a compliment they paid him. If Christ had not received sinners and then ate with them, I would still be on my way to hell. I eat with the Lord every Sunday when I eat of the loaf and drink of the fruit of the vine. Then again, while the Lord was on the cross, the chief priest made the charge. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. According to them, the Lord Jesus could not save himself and save us at the same time. That is the gospel according to the devil. I am glad that he did not save himself from the agony of the cross. If he had, again I say, I would be on my way to hell. The devil and the Pharisees understood clearly that I could not go to heaven without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear their view of Christ again. They said, He receives sinners. He eats with them. He cannot save us by saving himself. That is the view of the devil of the death of Christ on the cross. Listen to that again. It is almost unbelievable. The devil believed that Jesus died to save my soul. So what think ye of Christ? Now listen to Caiaphas, the high priest, tell us what he thinks about Jesus. When Jesus was tried before Caiaphas, they sought false witness against Jesus, and they could find none. Caiaphas, in desperation, put Jesus under oath and said, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless I say unto you, henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his garment, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? According to Caiaphas, the promise Jesus made of his second coming on the clouds to be seen by everyone, including the ones who pierced him, was blasphemy. Caiaphas may not like what he heard, but he understood what Jesus meant. Now, what think ye of Christ? Now consider also what Pilate thought about Jesus. Jesus was delivered to Pontius Pilate, and the charge was made that he had perverted the nation, forbidding them to give tribute to Caesar. This was a serious charge. But when Pilate examined Jesus, his verdict given to his accusers was, I find no fault in this man. Not only did he say he found no fault in this man, but while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him a note and said, Have thou nothing to do with this righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Mrs. Pilate was having nightmares over the whole situation and called Jesus a righteous man. No fault in him, a righteous man. This was the opinion of both Pilate and his wife and the devil that they had for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I live 2,000 years this side of Pilate and his wife, and I stand shoulder to shoulder with Mr. and Mrs. Pontius Pilate. I find no fault in this righteous man. Now, what think ye of Christ? Now listen again to what Judas had to say about the character of Jesus. Judas was the arch traitor who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Surely there must be some terrible charge that can be made by a man who heard Jesus preach, one who had seen him raise the dead and restore sight to a man born blind, walk on the water, and then sold him out to the enemy for such a small sum as 30 pieces of silver. The small amount was in itself an insult. What terrible, dastardly thing had Jesus done to deserve such contemptuous treatment? Listen to Judas as he bears his soul. When he saw that Jesus was condemned to be crucified, he repented himself and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. But they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed. Then he went away and hanged himself. Such is the testimony of the arch traitor. I have betrayed innocent blood. This is what the devil thinks of Jesus. Innocent blood. Now, what think ye of Christ? Surely the testimony of the centurion who was in charge of this detail of crucifixion would be most important. He was the man in charge of the soldiers who led Jesus to the cross. He was the man who gave the order to force Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross of Jesus. He was the man who gave the order to drive the nail through the hands and feet of Jesus. He was the man who drove the nail through the feet of Jesus and the one who gave the order to dig the hole where they lifted the cross and dropped it into that hole with a thud that shook the foundations of hell. He was the man who gave the order to break the legs of the three who were crucified and hastened their death. Even though one of the soldiers, when he saw Jesus, was already dead, pierced his side, and straightway there ran out blood and water. And this is the man who, when he saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly as he stood there with bloody hands and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." That is what the man thought who presided over the cross. Now, what think ye of Christ? How about the thief on the cross? The chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe on him." And the robbers also that were crucified with him cast upon him the same reproach. Both robbers railed on Jesus at first, but Luke tells us something happened to one of the robbers who began to rebuke the other when he told him, "Dost thou not even fear God? We receive the just recompense of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." The testimony of the thief was, "This man hath done nothing amiss. So what think ye of Christ?" Here again the summation of these enemies of Jesus. They said, "He is the Holy One of God." They said, "We find no fault in him." They said his promise to return on the clouds with power and great glory was blasphemy. They said he could not save himself and save us at the same time. They said that his death was the slaying of one with innocent blood. They said he certainly must be the Son of God. They said he had done nothing amiss. Ladies and gentlemen, the worst they could say was the best they could say. But the amazing thing about what the devil said about Jesus can also be said by millions of people today who say the same things and are still just as lost and bound for hell as the enemies of Christ. Listen to James. "Even the demons believe and shudder." A person may believe all of these statements of the enemies of Christ, and yet, without repentance and baptism for the remission of sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit, be just as lost as a devil. What think ye of Christ? And now for a final word regarding the greatest council meeting that ever took place on planet Earth. There is no doubt that the decision of that meeting was the most important decision of all time regarding the person of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm speaking of the summit meeting. A summit not only because of where it was held, but regarding the personalities who were there. The place was the place described by the Apostle Peter in his second epistle as the Holy Mount. There were seven individuals present during that meeting, and nothing was said, believe it or not, about the World Series, the Super Bowl, the basketball playoffs, or any of the other entertainment or news events that claim our attention today. Those present were God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there were two very distinguished arrivals on the scene from outer space by the names of Moses and Elijah, who arrived in glory. This summit meeting was a full-dress affair, at least for four of them. Then there were three others who seemed to be bewildered as to why they had been invited to this conference that would involve millions of people in all ages and nations. Their names were Peter, James, and John. We do not know the minutes of all that was said in this conference, but we do know the major issue, and it seems the only issue that was laid on the table. It seems that the issue discussed was the decease of Jesus that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. This is the most interesting situation. Since nothing else was brought up about any other subject, it seems that the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection was to them the most important event that ever happened on this planet. In the fantasy world, when space travelers come down from outer space, they always say to whomever they meet, "Take me to your leader." When Moses and Elijah came down from outer space, they did not tell Jesus, "Take us to your leader," because they knew that he was the leader. They knew that he was the only person that could lead the human race to eternal glory. When real people actually come down from outer space, all they will talk about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The conclusion of this summit meeting puts our lives in perspective. Could it be that this broadcast you are listening to at this moment is the most important news event that will be heard this week on this radio station, more important than all the wars, murders, and scores of ball games put together? According to these conferees in this great council, it could very well be. Could it be that this week all the talk show programs will revolve around the gospel of Christ? Could it be that all the people who call in to various talk show hosts this week will discuss the importance of the gospel? Will people be calling in and asking, "What must I do to be saved?" After all, when you think about it, what else is there to talk about? Jesus died for our sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for our sins. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, what think ye of Christ? Because of the results of this council, at a later time, the Apostle John, who had been on the summit for the meeting, could record the words of Jesus regarding another appearance of Jesus in glory in Revelation. That's when Jesus said to John, "Fear not. I am the first and the last, and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." Because of the gospel, Jesus has the key to every grave and the key to the spirit world. At his return, he can unlock every coffin and unite the spirits with their bodies to stand before him on the judgment day. Although, like I said, we don't have the minutes of the entire discussion that took place that day on the Holy Mount, we do have information about the final conclusion of the entire conference. And that was when God, the Father, closed the meeting with this final word: "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I'll tell you what we all will think of Christ, sooner or later. Paul said it for us when he said, "Wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. Listen to the address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Now, until next week at this same time, don't forget, tell someone, somehow and in some way, that as far as the Christian is concerned, God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.